For several Sunday evenings last year, we talked about Bible authority, and then kind of an offshoot of that, we began to talk about what we often call the five acts of worship. And we have had lessons on teaching and preaching. We have had a lesson on prayer. We've had a lesson on the Lord's Supper. This morning, I want to talk to us for a few minutes about giving. Talk about giving. Now, we know a whole lot about giving. We use that word just about every day in our regular vocabulary. We know what it means to give. We know what it means to receive gifts from others. Especially here lately, in the last few weeks, there has been a lot of emphasis placed upon the idea of giving and receiving. But as we go to the Word of God, we find that the Word of God tells us quite a bit about giving. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to go to the Word of God, and we want to learn what we need to know for our lives as we serve God faithfully about giving. And as we go to God's Word, we are going to find, if I can find my clicker here, I don't have it plugged in. That's all right. That's not all right. Give me a moment. There we go. The Bible gives us three things about giving that we want to look at this morning. The first place, there is enjoyment. Now, when the service is over, just before we have the closing prayer this morning, we're going to pass a basket around. And we're going to ask those who are members here to place a contribution into that basket. But the question is, why is it that we do that? Do we do that out of greed? Is it because we want other people's money? We want to have that extra money laid aside, so if we ever need some money, we'll have that. Maybe we're extortioners. Or maybe we do it because, well, that's just what we've always done. That's what we did growing up in church, and that's what we've done all of our adult lives, and that's just what we do. Maybe it's just because of tradition. Or maybe it's because somebody thought it was a good idea. Hey, it might be a good idea to take up some money, and then we can have a little money to spend on some class material or whatever. Well, the fact is, the Bible lays down a mandate upon giving. God has enjoined giving upon all of His children. We are commanded to give. The passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul here gives us the command to give. And he says there, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now that is an imperative statement. In other words, that is a command. God has enjoined this idea of giving upon us. We don't have a choice. We must give. And notice some things about the statement that Paul made here. For example, he says that upon the first day of the week. Now, the first day of the week is when God has authorized us to take up the collection. We don't pass the basket around on Wednesday nights. When we have a gospel meeting, we don't pass the basket around Monday through Friday night. We don't do that simply because we don't have the authority for that. The command here specifically states that it is to be done upon the first day of the week. That's when we are to give. Now, as we point out in our class over here, very often when God specifies something, that excludes all other, doesn't it? When God specified gopher wood to Noah, Noah didn't get to use gopher plus oak and elm and so forth, but God never said, thou shalt not use oak and elm. Well, God didn't have to because He specified what He wanted. When God specified singing, we know that we can't add the mechanical instrument music. Even though God never said, thou shalt not use a trumpet or a horn or a piano, He didn't have to because He specified what He wanted. And we know that we are to give upon the first day of the week because that's what God has specified. Notice something else. Each one here is to lay something aside. Each one of you lay something aside. All Christians have the responsibility to give of their means. This isn't something that, well, somebody else can do that. And if I ever notice that the church needs a little more, then I'll give some. Some people actually gauge their giving based upon what they see over here, the budget, as opposed to what's given. Well, we're meeting our budget, so I don't have to give anymore. I don't have to give this week. Well, we need to be very careful about that. Each one is commanded to give. Notice also that we are to give as we prosper. We give as we get, don't we? We give as we prosper. Now, there are some people over the years who have approached me with various different questions about the idea of giving. Somebody asked me a question in Bible class one morning. Well, now, used to the farmers, and it may still be that way today with farmers, they would put their crop in, and then the crop would come in, and they would go to the market, and they would sell all that, and then they have all this money at one time, and then they have to use that money for the next year. That's their income. So how do they give? Do they just give once a year? I mean, they're supposed to give as they prosper, so they just put in once a year a huge amount, or do they sit down and they split that up and decide they're going to give so much every Sunday? How is that done? Well, my Bible says as they prosper. So whether they want to split it up or they want to give it all in one lump sum, as far as I'm concerned, that's their choice. Some people, many people, get paid every 2 weeks or bi-monthly. Maybe that's when they ought to give. Well, I don't have a problem with that. They're giving as they prosper, but it must be on Sunday when they give. Not on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. They're giving as they prosper. And notice here that this here is a necessary inference. There is an inescapable conclusion here that a church treasury was formed. Folks have asked me before, where is the authority for a church treasury? Is there authority for a church treasury? Show me the authority for that. Well, it is implied here. If the brethren are all going to give, that has to be a collective form of money. What's a collective form of money? That's a treasury. Remember what Paul stated over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8? He told the church at Corinth, I robbed other churches in order to preach to you. Now, Paul didn't literally go in with a gun and rob people. He's speaking as a figure of speech there. He took money from other churches. Now, wait a minute. How did he take the money from a church? Well, that church obviously had a collective fund. How else could Paul have robbed churches if they didn't have a fund to rob? And so, yes, there is the authority, there's the necessary implication here for a church treasury. And let me emphasize this again. Free will giving on the first day of the week is the only authorized way for the church to obtain funds. Now, you look out into the religious world today, and you find various different kinds of so-called churches collecting funds in many different ways. Some will have a car wash. Well, the money goes into the church, and that's a good cause. Some will have cakewalks, or they'll have bake sales, soup and sandwiches, bingo, on and on the list goes, of different fundraisers that churches have in order to embellish their church treasury. And whether it does good or not, or whether it seems to do good to us, if it's not authorized, it's wrong. Uzzah thought he was doing a good thing. The Ark of the Covenant was a very important piece of furniture in the Old Testament. Perhaps even the most important piece. And Uzzah reached forward to keep it from hitting the old dirty, filthy ground. Now, Uzzah sounds to me like he had a good case. He was doing a good thing. God struck him dead. Why? Because God had commanded, do not touch it lest you die. I believe Pammy looked that up in class this morning, Ephesians 4:19. Do not touch it unless you die. Uzzah didn't have authority to touch that ark, did he? And the authority we have for the church to collect money into its treasury is the free will given on Sunday morning. Well, then how do we use the funds? What's the church do with the money? Well, the Bible gives some direction. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14 tells us that if anyone preaches the gospel, he should live of the gospel. That means a preacher makes his living preaching the gospel. I've had people tell me over the years, preacher ought to go out and get a real job like everybody else and then preach too. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the preacher, if he preaches full time, ought to make his living that way. If he preaches the gospel, he ought to live with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. And obviously, the church would pay the preacher. Just as Paul got paid, remember? 2 Corinthians 11 and 8 from other churches. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 talks about the rule, those the elders who rule well, they should be given double honor. And then it goes on to explain what he means there by double honor when he uses the illustration of you shall not muzzle the ox while he treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his hire, quoting Jesus there. He's talking about money. Church is authorized to pay elders who rule well. Basically, the treasury is used to carry out the mission of the church. Now, we've talked about the mission of the church. We've had a lesson on this. If you remember the three things, remember, number one, the church is to fervently evangelize the sinful. That is, we're to take the gospel to the world. The gospel had sounded forth from the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. The Lord commands us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. And so that's part of the work of the church, to teach the gospel to the world. And we churches do that many different ways. There are tracts back there. We use that to teach the world. We use the sermon. Often we have visitors in here who are of the world. They're not members of the church. They're not Christians. And so they learn from whatever's taught here from the pulpit, from the classes. We have a website. And I've had several Bible studies over the years because of people locating the church where I was through a website. There are newspaper articles. There are radio. There's all kinds of different ways that the church uses its money to spend for the purpose of fervently evangelizing the sinful. Number two, the church fervently evangelizes the sinful. Number two, the church faithfully edifies the saved, right? And we need money, right, for that? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us that God has set up in the church the preachers, the teachers, the elders, and so forth. And he goes on to say the reason is for the equipping of the saints. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. For the equipping of the saints. Now that context there has a lot more to say about this, but we just want to get the gist. It's for the equipping of the saints. And we have Bible classes here to teach. We use material that we purchase or we use money. We have a copier. We purchase that for the purpose of producing material to teach, to carry out the Lord's work. That took money. Money from the church treasury. And so that's what the money's used for. We have a library of books in here that to help to teach those who are members. And so we fervently evangelize the sinful, we faithfully edify the saints, and the church is authorized to financially ease the saints, right? Faithfully edify the saved, financially ease the saints. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, the passage we've already looked at. Collection for the saints, 2 Corinthians 8, 4, the ministering to the saints. 2 Corinthians 9, 1, ministering to the saints. Many other passages that we've looked at before that tells us that the church is to help needy saints, not atheists. The church is not authorized to give money to anyone who is not a member of the Lord's church. That's just a fact. Not orphan homes, not widows' homes, not hospitals. The church is only authorized to help those who are saints. Listen, people often misunderstand me here. There are plenty of passages which not only authorize, but insist that individual Christians help anyone in the world, atheist, orphan, widow, whoever, when they have the means and opportunity. That is our responsibility as individual Christians. But that is not the work of the church. God did not come to establish a charitable organization. The Lord came to establish a church which is the function to save people and to keep people saved. But the church is authorized during those emergency situations to help those who are saints. And so as we go to God's Word and study about giving, we find that the Bible gives us an enjoinment. We're commanded to give. Number two, the Bible gives us an exhortation. This time turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And notice verses 5 to 8. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapter 9, Paul is really exhorting all through these chapters the church at Corinth to give. And sometime when you have time, maybe this afternoon, sit down and just read these two chapters. But particularly look at verses 5 to 8 of 2 Corinthians 9. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I wrote an article some time back called Giving Adjectives. And throughout this chapter, and even in chapter 8 and other places, we find adjectives that describe our giving. And Paul exhorts here these Christians to give in certain ways. In the first place, Paul is exhorting them to give generously. Isn't he? He says there in verse 5, he uses the word generous two times. Your generous gift, and then a matter of generosity in verse 5. In verse 6, he uses the word bountifully. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, generously. Now think about how you give. Would it be looked at as generously? In light of how much you make, do you think that you're generous in your giving? You know, when you go to a doctor for your annual checkup, the doctor begin to poke and to pry and to press in various places. This is why a lot of people don't like to go do their checkups. And all the while he's asking, does this hurt? How about this? And if you cry out in pain, one of two things have happened. Either the doctor has poked and prodded too hard with the wrong sensitivity, or something is wrong. And in that case, the doctor will say, well, we'd better do some more tests. It's not supposed to hurt there. And so it is sometimes when preachers preach on financial responsibility and giving to the Lord. Certain members, they cry out in discomfort, criticizing the message, criticizing the messenger. Either the preacher has pushed too hard, or maybe there's something wrong. In that case, I say, we're in great need of the great physician, because it's not supposed to hurt there. We need to evaluate our giving. Is it generous? Another adjective that we learn here in this context. Purposefully. We give as he purposes in his heart. Now that word carries with it the idea of planned out. We plan out our giving. Now what's that say to the person when here the tray's starting to be passing? Oh yeah, I pulled my billfold out and dig through. What have I got left over in here? Or pull my purse out and go digging through. Oh, here's a five. Are we planning out our giving? Do we operate on a budget? Do we sit down and determine how much we're going to give to the Lord this month? I have sometimes been guilty of writing my check out at the last minute because I forgot to write my check. But what I was going to give was planned ahead. The amount was planned ahead. So I'm not talking about that. There have been times I've left my check at home. Matter of fact, that happens to me quite frequently. I'll leave my check at home. I have to give it that night or many times the next week. But we purpose the plan. We plan it out to give. It's not just a spur-of-the-moment thing. Another adjective here. He says, as we prosper. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, the passage that we've already looked at. As we prosper. How is your giving in proportion to your income? How is it? I just start telling me, preacher, that I have to tithe and give 10%. That's Old Testament. Well, okay, that's Old Testament. But you determine. How's your giving? There are people in here who will spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to take care of their physical well-being, to pay for an operation or whatever it takes, but when it comes to taking care of their spiritual well-being and taking care of the Lord's church, they're hesitant. Are we generous? Peter Marshall once said, "Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving." Well, I was making $40 a week when I started, so I was giving $4 a week to the Lord, but now I'm making over $1,000 a week. How much are you giving? Still $4? Well, it's hard to give that much out of $1,000. It's hard to give that much. Well, maybe you ought to pray and ask God to bring your income back down to $40 a week. Then it'd be easier for you to give more of your income. Do we really give as we prosper? Another word here is used, cheerfully. Give cheerfully. There's a mother who wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson, so she gave her little girl a quarter and a dollar. And she said, "Now when they pass the plate at services, you put in whichever one you want, and the other you can keep to yourself." And after the services was over, she came to the little girl and said, "Well, which one did you put in the tray?" She said, "Well, I was going to put the dollar in the tray, but just before the plate was passed, the man in the pulpit said that we ought to give cheerfully, and I knew I'd be more cheerful giving the quarter." Let's not misunderstand the Word of God here. Cheerful, not in the sense of maybe what's necessarily more pleasing to us. How did the Lord give? Sacrificially. It hurt to hang on that cross. How should we give? Sacrificially, but at the same time we ought to be glad to do it and give cheerfully, because it's for the greatest work on the face of the earth. Not grudgingly, he says, placing the money in the tray and said, "Boy, what I could have bought with that. That would have helped me buy that new TV. Oh, that would have bought us a big lunch today." What's going through your mind as you give? Not grudgingly. And then our last word here, willingly. Go back to chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians and look at verse 12. Verse 12 it says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to what one has and not according to what one does not have." I was in an old country church years ago, I'm told, that was dwindling in its funds. And one particular Sunday morning, the preacher was trying extra hard that morning to really get folks to give generously because they needed the funds. The funds were dwindling. And while he was preaching, he looked down at Brother Brown. He said, "Brother Brown, if you had 200 cows, would you be willing to give 20 of them to the Lord?" And Brother Brown said, "Oh, preacher, you know I would." He said, "Well, Brother Brown, if you had 100 sheep, would you be willing to give 10 of them to the Lord?" He said, "Oh, preacher, you know I'd be willing." He said, "Well, Brother Brown, if you had 20 pigs, would you be willing to give 2 of them to the Lord?" And Brother Brown said, "That ain't fair, preacher. You know I got 20 pigs." "I'd be willing to give more, Lord, if you'd give me more." That's kind of the attitude, right? "I would be more willing to give if I made more, if I had more." That man said, "Oh yeah, if I had 200 cows, I'd give 20 of them to the Lord just like that." "Well, how about 2 of your 20 pigs that you do have?" "Oh no." Let's be careful with that mentality. We need to be willing to give of what we've got, not willing to give when we have more. And so as we go to the Word of God, we find that the Bible regarding giving gives us an enjoinment. We're commanded to give. It gives us an exhortation. We're encouraged to give in a certain way. And then finally, very quickly, The Bible gives us an example. Actually, I want us to consider three examples from the Word of God about giving. The first one is a popular example, and it's found in Exodus chapter 36. And I always find this fascinating when I read this. It's so interesting. It's so encouraging. Of course, you realize that God had been pretty detailed about how the tabernacle was to be built and all the materials that were going to be needed. It was going to be quite elaborate, really. And they were going to need some goods to do so. And so they had, several chapters earlier, they had issued the command for the people to bring of their free will so that they would have the things that they need. And then in Exodus chapter 36, the people were bringing the things that were needed. And it says in verse 2 and 3, Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Something amazing happened here. Look at verse 5. It says, "And they," now this is the craftsmen, "they came to Moses, and they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do.'" Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, every time I look at this board and I see the budget, most of the time the giving exceeds the budget. And I think about this. The people bring much more than is necessary. But you know, the more we go over the budget, the more work we can add here. The more work we can do for the Lord. Don't ever look at that budget and say, "Well, we're meeting our budget, so I don't need to increase." Don't gauge your giving on that. There's always more work that we can do for the Lord. These people had to be restrained, we're told. Verse 6, "And the people were restrained from bringing." They were so generous. They were given so much, they actually had to be restrained. Isn't that wonderful? How's my giving? Next example, Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. You're familiar with this story. The widow's two mites. We're told that Jesus, verse 41, sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Now notice the rich people here, they put in what the Bible says, much. This wasn't no insignificant amount. The rich were putting in much, he says. But then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. I don't know exactly what that rations out in American money, but let's say 2 cents, maybe. Seems like I read somewhere. Very, very insignificant amount. And she put that in. Now the rich had put in much. She puts in a couple of pennies. So Jesus called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." Now how is that possible? The rich, we're told, put in much. The widow put in these two little copper coins. How did she give more? You know how? Because God was viewing it in proportion to what they had. Wasn't he? Somebody once said, God judges what we give by what we keep. You know, if I've only got $100 to my name and I give $20, and the guy sitting next to me is a millionaire and he gives $20, we both gave the same amount, right? But who gave more? Who gave sacrificially? That's the point here that the Lord's trying to make. We give sacrificially. And this widow lady in this story gave us a wonderful example. The Lord said, "For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had." Her whole livelihood, it says. She gave sacrificially. Third example. Going back to 2 Corinthians, Paul, throughout 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, as I said, is exhorting these people to give. And he used all those giving adjectives we talked about. But he also gave some examples, didn't he? particularly the example of Christ. Now, he referenced some other churches who were very zealous in giving in the first couple of verses of chapter 9. But the main example is Christ, wouldn't it? In light of giving, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." We talked about that a few weeks ago. Thanks be to God for Christ. Look at what Christ has done for you, or God has done for you, sent his only Son. How generous God was in his giving. Shouldn't you be generous in your giving? But then going back to chapter 8, still talking about giving here, Paul says in verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," he's talking about when he was in the glories of heaven, "he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor," he came to this world, "that you through his poverty might become rich." Now Paul said this in the light of exhorting them to give. He said, you think about what God has done for you. You think about what Christ has done for you. He left the beauty, the glory of heaven to come to this earth and to walk and to inhabit a shell made of rotting clay. And he did all that for you. And oh, how we need to be willing to give to the Lord. And so as we go to God's Word, we find some important things about giving. We find that the Bible gives us an enjoyment. That is, it's a command, not a choice. God has commanded us to give upon the first day of the week. We find that the Bible gives us an exhortation. Paul exhorts us to give in certain ways, cheerfully, generously, bountifully, purposefully, willingly. How's my giving? And we find that the Word of God gives us an example. We have examples of givers in the Word of God. Those who gave in these ways, cheerfully, liberally, bountifully, purposefully. And so the question that I need to ask myself as I leave this morning is, how is my giving? Let's pray.